Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
This is Heather Dubrow from Heather Dubrow's World.
Hey, it's Steve Austin from the Steve Austin Show.
Hey, this is Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana from Riggle's Picks.
This is Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine.
Hey, this is Kelty from The Lady Gang. Happy holidays from Podcast One.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer, and we are in the studio today, and we're getting ready. We are jonesing for a holiday, aren't we?
Sure.
It's a holiday week. It's Christmas week.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought we'd start out this show, since everyone's sitting around right now. They're probably off work. They, they're sitting there talking about the holidays, where they're going, where they are, or where they've been. I thought we'd start out with this episode, guys, with a hey, happy holidays to you,
hey,
Matt.
Happy holidays. Is today Christmas?
Yeah.
Aaron, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. I'm excited.
Hey, Aaron, obviously you didn't get a new phone for Christmas. What was that? Repeat it.
You know what, Brad? Ever since you got that new board and you keep your phone too close to it, I've been getting sketchy again because everything was good for a while. It looks like we're going to have a white Christmas. We got a little snowstorm coming in tonight for the next few days over the weekend. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know why I hear your voice. It's weird.
Hey, Matt and I are going over to the desert for Christmas. You know, we're here in the desert, and it's, you know, we're hoping for warm sunshine. But, hey, guys.
Are you in Arizona?
Yeah, we're both in Arizona. And so it's all about Saturday night at Pavilion's Car Cruise, man. That's what's happening. They're having the biggest gathering of fox bodies. They're calling it a fox body Christmas.
That would be amazing.
And Matt would be like, Christmas is really here. It's a New Year's miracle.
Well, they kind of do that in April out here at the Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes, at Knott's Berry Farm.
At
the Fabulous Fords Forever.
Yeah. So, that's like the Christmas for Fox Body.
Yeah, that's the Christmas for the Ford guys. Hey, so guys, what I thought is this would be kind of fun. And I'll start out with you, Matt.
Do it. Thinking back of when Christmas
was that magical time, you know, when you were growing up and you were little and you waited, you know, Christmas night, you couldn't get to sleep and you were just like, Is there one Christmas you remember, some gift you got that you just go, dude, it was like the coolest thing. It was like I came out and there it was or whatever. I mean, you know, anything that sticks out?
Well, one that sticks out but not quite what you're talking about. It wasn't really for me. It was I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and the younger brother is quite a bit younger. And when he was a kid, we kept telling him, if you're bad, you're going to get coal. If you're bad, you're going to get coal. And And then my older brother and I, we were like, I don't know, 14 or, you know, 14 and 16 or 13 and 15. So my little brother's got to be 6 or something.
And like Cole was the bully who lived down the street?
No.
Oh, but, no, you mean.
But so we all woke up in the morning and my little brother wasn't up yet. And we put a blanket like over his gifts and like hid mm-hmm. them under the table and literally bought a bag of charcoal and put it out there. And we're like, wake up, Santa was here, Santa was here. And he comes, rolls out, looks like, you got coal. You were fucking bad. And he ran to his room and he cried. And,
real nice.
And I was like, why did my mom let us do this? Why was she laughing the whole time going, this is hilarious. And I was like, we're just kidding. Santa
came. This kid's, he's messed up forever, but it's funny right now.
Yeah, right now. And he's a good kid.
The next year, your parents gave him a gun, right?
Yeah. Next year, he didn't buy into it. He's like, I'm not doing ruined Christmas forever. For him, I realized
that's funny. But was there like one gift that you just like really wanted, and you just and you got it, or you didn't get it, or?
Well, every year I don't get a fox body.
you've got enough already.
We had the. I can't really think of anything specific like you're talking about. Like I. As a kid, it wasn't like one thing. It was like, I got to have this as, you know, like, I just got to have it. I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't super, super into Christmas.
Wow.
I don't know why.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. You know, it's like. So you never got a bike, or you never got like a race car, like slot car track or something like that. That
you know, like my older brother, I think, got a slot car track, and that was kind of cool. The
Hot Wheels.
No, I did get an RC car that I wanted. I wanted like the Grasshopper. Remember that one? That was like the first of them.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah. And Tamiya. Right?
Yeah. I got that, and that was the coolest thing. And then we were super into that for years. I've still got a couple at home. Not a Grasshopper, but I've got the Hoonigan Mustang, and I've got an older like gas engine RC. I forgot what it's called, but I've got one of those. That was the coolest thing. And all the kits you buy now, like a lot of the kits, they come assembled. Back then, they didn't. So I remember like taking the little tiny gold anodized shocks and filling them with oil, and you know, had like an O-ring, and I was like, how much oil is supposed to be in there? And why do they leak all the time?
see, then the people figured out, wait a minute, why are we paying all this money to put it together? They should do that, you know?
Just the coolest little things. Like, the assembly process was more fun, you know? Like, you'd buy the kind of inexpensive kit and had, like, the little plastic bushings and stuff. And then you drive it for a while and you're like, I need to upgrade to the bearings. I need to get the bearings. And that was, like, a big upgrade, you know? And then you can get a little bit better motor, in a little electric motor for it. Now it's all crazy stuff. But that one I remember.
That's cool.
And having to screw were they two or three piece wheels? You had to screw the wheels together. It had so many little moving parts. I totally remember that. That was like the first RC car with like full suspension, and it had a sealed rear axle, I think, and it was waterproof. You could run it through the water. It was like, that was a big deal back then. I totally remember that. I used to love the smell of all the electrical, you know, all the electrical stuff. You could smell it, and had the old.
That's a burning. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's
good. It's not supposed to smell. Yeah.
You know, but you're right. You talk about, like, there's some waterproofing, but, like, your little receiver, you have the servos on the receiver, like, you'd put a balloon over it and, like, zip tie it to try to protect
it. Exactly, yeah. The old Futaba, right?
Yeah. So we would do that. And then the other, like, little hack.
One of the hacks. What was you had to sand the speed controller, right?
Yeah.
Remember, it would get corroded.
Yeah. You got to hit it with like a little bit of sandpaper, and I think one of the other little hacks was like when you put the bigger motors in them, the tire wouldn't stay on the rim very well, so you'd have to like super glue the bead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it would turn and the tire would stay. Yeah, you'd have to super glue the bead on there and stuff, which is funny because I got the Hoonigan Mustang, the Ken Block car, and it's all-wheel drive, and it spins all four tires.
Right.
And it slides around and drifts all-wheel drive. It's fun.
You know what you should do with that is take it everywhere where he made a video and make your own video.
There is some kind of like Gymkhana RC video that guys did that was pretty epic.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, we were talking about slot car tracks and stuff like that. This isn't the gift that I remember. I mean, I remember it, but I mean, but I remember when I said that to you, I remember one year, and sometimes dads get gifts for themselves that are, they're for you, but they're for them too.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And I remember one year I got this epic slot car track. It was Tyco, you know, and it, and and I remember the box was so gigantic, and it said on the front of the box, with 40-degree bank turns and 8-foot-long straightaways. And I remember thinking, oh, my God. And instead of having the little guns, it had a four, like a shifter, where you went first, second, third, and fourth.
Oh, okay.
And it was really cool. And it had, like, the, you know, the big bank things and everything. And I remember... The things that I remember most are the shifter, the 40-degree bank turns, and the 8-foot-long straightaways on the box. And then what I remember is what my dad said. We went down, and we were putting it together in the family room, and it was taking forever. And to make those 40-degree bank turns, they had all these like little struss braces you had to assemble and put.
Yeah.
And I remember he went, I'm going to go up and get I'm going to go get a beer. And he didn't know I followed him. And I don't remember. I was pretty young, and I was probably like 10 years old or something. And I remember him walking out in the kitchen, and I remember him going, why the hell did I get this? This thing's a pain in the ass to put together.
Oh, no.
And we, you know, it took forever. I remember it was like days to put together. Yeah. Finally got it together, and he had put a sheet of plywood down.
Yeah.
And he had it on his pool table. And it was awesome, man. We were sitting there, my brother was there, and we were all playing with it. And then I remember my mom going, all right, well, you're going to have to take that down. And he goes, I'm not taking that down. It sat there for like months. And then finally I had to take it down because my dad wanted to play pool. So, but it was, it's funny how they sometimes get stuff for themselves and they, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll play with that too.
Yeah, so, it looks cool. I like that.
What's your best gift, Aaron?
I think back in the day it had to be Star Wars, man. I mean, I was a Star Wars kid, you know, born in 1970, but by the end of the decade, I was a Star Wars fanatic. So I think every Christmas it was like, okay, all the latest, not all the latest, but some of the latest Star Wars stuff or Alien stuff or Space 1999. You know, I was a total sci-fi kid. So
it's funny because
I would say that those are
Aaron being the kid of a rock star and in a kind of a hectic young life. When you said, what's the best gift you ever got? I thought you were going to say something like a stepbrother. What was the coolest thing you got? Oh, I got a stepbrother. I wasn't expecting that.
I got a pony.
I got a step mom.
You know, and
I got that Tamiya RC car too. I don't know how you pronounce it, but I got that too, and I remember this stuff. But I think what I can think of offhand, you know, is because that's the sparkle of childhood. You know, as an adult or when I could learn to drive, it was car stuff. But I think before that, you know, I mean, as a little kid, all of my old photos, I had cars and Hot Wheels in my hands. You know, but I think it's kind of that 8, 9, 10 year old, it was all sci-fi. It was all Star Wars.
Now, did you
Stretch Armstrong?
Oh, Stretch Armstrong! I remember that. Yeah, Saturday morning TV. Stretch Armstrong. You know, and then what you would do is you'd get it, and then you'd let it go, and it'd smack your sister in the face. You know, how did you guys do it? Did you do Christmas morning, or did you do Christmas presents the night
before?
Christmas
morning.
How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, we had one present we could open Christmas Eve, which was like a little present, and then everything else was Christmas morning. Otherwise the kids don't sleep. If you don't give them something, they'll be up all night and they'll wake you up at 3 in the morning.
Well, I mean, Christmas morning, man. Christmas morning was like, you know, there was, you know, there were a few gifts under the tree, but then you woke up on Christmas morning, Santa came, and there were tons of gifts. My wife their family, they open all their gifts on Christmas Eve and then just have their stockings on Christmas morning, and it's all about eating and being together and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, what a bummer.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it was the presentation.
Have you seen any movie ever about Christmas?
Yeah.
It's always Christmas morning running down there.
Exactly. It's not about Christmas Eve. And part of its presentation, it was as a little kid getting up and running out there, and you see that tree.
In your little onesie PJs.
And you're shaking mom and dad and going, Mom, Dad, get up. Santa was here. And they're like, nudging, they go, no, that was us opening. Yeah. We were up
Santa
till 4 in the
late.
Morning getting those put together. Go back to bed.
Santa was up late. He wants to sleep in.
And you know, my dad, he was, you know, always a prankster and stuff like that. So when I was real little, I remember.
You should tell my Cole story. My bag
exactly.
of Cole's.
He would have loved that. But see, he did things different. Like, I remember.
Seems kind of tragic for a 5-year-old, by the way.
Exactly.
Kind of broken him forever.
You know, I was probably, because I lived in Scottsdale, so I had to be real little. But it was back when before BMX, you know, so you had like a. I remember wanting a sissy bar on my bike. You know, remember sissy bars? I wanted one of those so bad.
Sissy bar and a banana seat.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And my dad kept saying, no, you don't need one of those. You don't need one of those. And so Christmas morning comes. We open all our gifts. And I'm like, I'm sitting there. And he goes, well, how was your Christmas? And I'm like, oh, it was good. Thanks for everything. And I'm thinking, oh, I didn't get my sissy bar, man, you know. And so he let it go on. Him and my mom let it go on. And, well, let's get this place cleaned up. And we're cleaning up all the wrapping paper and stuff. And my dad goes, I think some of it got under the couch. Reach under there and get it, Brad. And I reach under, and there's some wrapping paper. And all of a sudden, I feel something. And I go, pull it out. And it's a sissy bar. And I was like,
that's what happens when dad doesn't want to wrap it.
Exactly. Yeah. But no,
I don't know how to wrap this thing. Forget it. Put it under the couch.
And then another year, I wanted one of those Mongoose BMX bike frames.
Yeah.
So bad, man. I mean, all my friends had the trick stuff, and I'm still on a Schwinn Stingray that's, you know, got Moto Mags and stuff, but I wanted that so bad. And Christmas comes, same thing. My sister got this really cool, you know, I think it was like a mini boom box with a cassette player and everything.
Yeah.
And she wanted to play with it and use it. And so I'm like sitting there, you know, go, thanks for everything. Didn't give me a goddamn bike frame, you know. And my dad goes, he throws me his car keys. And he goes, Brad, run out to the back. And there's a box of batteries in the trunk of my car. You need to get them for. And I go, well, let Judy get her own batteries, you know. And he's like,
don't be a dick, Brad.
He goes, come on. You had a nice Christmas. Go out and do it. And I'm like, okay. And I go out, and I remember opening that trunk and looking at the front door, and my mom and dad are standing there. Yeah, it was like the glow comes out. It was like that Mongoose BMX frame laying in there.
Oh, you should have closed the trunk and said, I don't see any batteries.
Well, I was waiting for my dad to go, oh, we decided we're taking that back. You weren't a very good kid.
Yeah.
You know? Get the batteries and come back.
Get the batteries, come back here.
But, I mean, you know, those are the things that you remember, because it's like that bike frame's long gone everything, but you remember that stuff. And
we were just having that conversation with somebody about the bike frame stuff. Redline, they had like a titanium frame. Was it Redline?
They had chrome moly. Yeah. Yeah, but they
would crack.
It was
some of the welds would crack. Like,
dude, all those old bike frames cracked. I mean, we beat the hell out of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we jump them on the street. Imagine a bike, you know, with Moto Mags, no suspension, you're jumping it on the street, you're jumping trash cans and all that stuff. But now those are all good memories. That's what Christmas is about.
Back when the suspension was our legs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have Bilstein knees.
I miss those because my kids are all big now. You know, my youngest son is 16, going on 17 in February, and it's like, oh, Matt, so thank you. So we ended up getting him the G920, I think it was. The G920 Logitech simulator system. So we got him that, and the stand and all the stuff you recommended. So thank you for
the chair, right?
Yeah.
Play seat,
I didn't get him the whole chair thing. that stuff starts to get expensive. You're right. Even like with the basic cheapest we could find system, you're still committed to like, you know, $200 or $300 with the wheel and the pedals and the shifter and all the Yahoo stuff, you know, the drifting brake. And then it's like if you add the seat and the whole unit, you're like $700 or $800. So,
just buy like the steering wheel and the shifter and then make your own. You got to shop.
Why can't you?
That's what I was thinking. So I got him the Mini GT stand, which just holds the steering wheel and the pedals and the shifter. And then I figure I can easily make a clamp-on seat and use one of my racing seats or something out of one of my cars.
Every time he wants to play, he has to sit in the Pinsgauer, and that'll be the seat.
I was just going to say, it'd be so much cooler. Just like get some like old Miata, cut the dash, put the unit in there, and he just goes out to the garage, sits in the Miata, and you know, it's like...
Oh, Brad, believe me, I was thinking, what can I get? I was looking on Craigslist for any old shitbox, you know, race canopy or race, you know, thing, anything I could find that I could make and like create the dash and the gauges.
That'd be so
and
cool.
All the work and like if you use a British car or a BMW where the hood tips forward.
Mm-hmm. It would be really cool, actually, if you found some little car and you just got out the plasma cutter and, like, cut it at the firewall and then just kind of finished it off and then cut it right behind the rear compartment and just he gets up Christmas morning and there's this, like, car sitting there that's on, like, a rolling chassis with the player all built right into
it. Well, it's got to be two seats, though, because Finn's going on 17, so now it's all about, you know, who's sitting next to you. You got a girl next to you.
Couldn't you see him selling that going, hey, do you want to take my car for a spin? And she's like, oh, that'd be great. I didn't know you had a license. And he goes, I don't, but we'll just go anyways. We're going to go around some really great tracks right now.
Hey, baby, you want to go to Spa? Want to go to the Nürburgring? I can make that happen.
Yeah, totally. Well, what I was thinking, too, is I was even looking at, like, Super V race cars and, like, some, like, real affordable cars.
Yeah.
Or just, like, kind of old, retired, you know, a quarter midgets or just something with a cool body that I could even just sit the body on a little framework, you know. And I thought, man, there were some Super Vs for, like, $1,200 and $1,500. So I'm thinking maybe down in the future we took out his other twin bed, so he just has one twin bed. We could squeeze, like, a little half car or little single-seater car in there. And I'm thinking, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get, like, a Super V and put it in his room with a big screen at the end.
and Finn, come visit. There's no place to sleep anymore, but I built you a rusty bucket in your room that you can play video games in.
Oh, he's got a beanbag. He's good. He'll sleep in the beanbag anyway. But wouldn't that be cool? Isn't that like the ultimate fantasy?
It'd be awesome.
It'd be like an old race car cockpit that's funky and old and, you know, with the seat belts in it and just lay down in there and have everything.
I think we just found a project for Brad's Moon Eyes Dragster in the other room.
Let's chop up my Moon Eyes Dragster.
Man. No, just put a simulator in it. Leave the rest of the dragster in peace.
Yeah, but wouldn't it feel funny sitting in that while you're going around Nürburgring?
Oh, man. Well, hey, I'll put a shout out then. If anybody's got an old Super V body or something that's pretty shabby and you're looking to get rid of it and you're somewhere nearby, let me know. I'll go take it off your hands.
Wait a minute. California Spider.
Oh, yeah. You should do a Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
He would love that.
Yeah.
Of course he would. I'm working on that on something different.
So
that's not for public ears.
So did you guys see, you saw that Honda brought back those little Cub motorcycles, right?
No, I saw Honda press release about their Pikes Peaks cars, which were awesome. Well, so I was chatting with Dave Merrick about them.
we're talking about online motorcycles, okay? Yeah. Motorcycles.
No, I get that. That's like a car, but with two wheels.
Yes, exactly.
And no top.
You saw this, didn't you, Aaron?
It's a little Groms, right?
Yeah. Well, somebody has already hot-rodded one and made it into a cafe racer, and it actually looks pretty cool. I'll post a picture of it on our social media. It looks really cool. I mean, the way they did it, it looks badass. Because those things are fun anyway. They're just...
The Grom?
Fun little, you know, the Super Cub. It's called the Honda Super Cup.
So, it is?
Have you seen their new one? It's the 850. It looks like the old Monkey mini bikes. Have you seen those?
Yes. That's basically what we're talking about. Yes. And that kind.
Because that's more like a scrambler style, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're just cool.
Yeah.
And
they really are cool. I'm so bugging Merrick for one of those.
They're bringing all that stuff back, and it's fun stuff. And
so
I mean,
cool.
You know,
I'm looking at the picture. This kind of copper and
yes,
black.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah, isn't that thing cool?
That thing's cool. Wait, now I want to know what a regular Super Cup looks like.
Nothing like that,
really. Because I want it to look like this.
It's really cool. We'll put a picture of this up because you guys will dig it, and I would like to see more people hot rod them. I mean, they're really fun little cruisers.
I'll tell you that the old CT70s and all those, they're getting big right now. There's a whole culture hot rodding those things, and including a couple mutual friends of ours, and they're getting big money for those. They're getting like $8,000-$10,000 for a modified, you know, 125 or something, old 70s, 60s mini bike.
Remember the little Honda Trail 50s and 70s?
Mm-hmm.
But the Trail 50 was more like a moped style.
It wasn't a moped. No. It was the one with the little, egg-shaped. The little egg-shaped.
Yes, those were the CT70s.
Okay.
The CT70s, were like the little trail bikes. And then the other one you're talking about was bigger. It looked more like a moped, if I recall.
Right. But the one I'm talking about is the little 50 had the little egg-shaped gas tank and the little aluminum wheels. And they were cool little guys. When I was in high school, a buddy of mine who was a drag racer, he was a few years older than I was. He rejetted it and ran it on alcohol, and he took it to the drag strip, and he got that thing running 15-second quarters.
Wow,
it was crazy. Wow. He was like 6 foot tall, and he's on this little thing. And it was awesome.
The Honda Super Cub is 60 years old this year in 2018. And I don't know that we've had them here in the U.S. for a little while, but I think they're bringing it back. Take a guess how many you think they've sold in 60 years.
I'd say about 6 million.
What do you think, Aaron? Worldwide.
I think 10.
100 million.
Wow.
100 Whoa. Million units.
Jeez.
Way off.
Yeah.
I don't.
That just shows us that, you know.
I hope this is right. I'm looking at this number. I was like, how could that be?
Well, you look. I mean, you look in these Asian countries where everybody's riding those things.
Yeah.
You know, they're not riding CB750s, man. You know, they're.
Yeah.
100 million
true.
Super Cubs motorcycles since production started 6 years ago.
So there's some spare parts out there is what you're saying.
There are 16 manufacturing plants in 15 different countries. And they haven't changed the design ever since.
Tell me that hasn't paid for itself. I mean, geez, that's like just moneymaker.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to have that?
Wow.
Hey, didn't you bring up the Hyundai Genesis, G70s?
Yeah. So I've got a G70 on the calendar. Before you get into it, I'll just give you the quick breakdown here of what January looks like in the car world. The beginning of January, I'm going to be driving the G70. And then we're going to Barrett Jackson. And then the end of January, just for a few days, I'll drive the Lamborghini Huracan Performante.
What's different about that?
It is better.
It's better.
We drove the Lamborghini Huracan,
yeah,
which was great, but it never really felt like it compete performance-wise with like...
Well, it's not supposed to.
Like McLaren
it's
and stuff.
It's less money.
But the Performante is that car.
It's, yeah.
Now it really is a contender. And like our
it's
guy...
It's a contender.
Alistair Weaver that comes in from Edmunds.com on CarCast, he's like, I didn't love the Huracan. He goes, but that car, love it. He's like, the difference between that is fantastic. And then beginning
is
of
that
February,
why the Huracans that I see around town all have the rear Volance gone, and they've got two big turbos.
Two big turbos.
Because they need it.
They need to do it. Anyway, so Genesis G70, Lamborghini Huracan, and then the Ford Edge ST in the beginning of February. Be driving all of that stuff. But anyway, so Genesis.
Well, I'm test driving a new Honda, by the way, in January.
Are you?
Yeah, the new Honda Jet.
The Honda Jet?
Yeah.
Now, do they deliver it here and you fly it yourself?
Be ridiculous. I've got to get it out of Orange County. But they said something about I need a pilot's license. I said, I'll fax it to you. I found another one. I just put my name. I found it online. Had Rick put my name on it. I'm good.
You're fine.
Good
to go. Yeah, that's all right.
I'm going to try and get it to take it to Barrett Jackson. You know?
That'd be great.
Yeah. So
I'd say I'd go with you, but no.
Come on,
it.
I'll take you guys with.
No,
there's room. Come on. Dave's going.
He sure is.
No. Do you ever remember the movie where they were all going from Vegas to L.A.? It's a mad world. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic. Remember Jim Backus, Aaron?
I remember seeing it, but
he was flying at the time, which would have been like, you know, it was a twin engine Beechcraft, custom paint and everything like that. And he tells these two guys, oh, "I'll fly you there. We'll be the first ones there." And they get up in the air, and it's like Buddy Hackett and some other guy, and he's going, "Hey, open that cabinet up." And he's got a full bar, and he goes, "Make me an old fashioned." And he's like on his third drink, and the plane's like, and he goes, "He told me to make him another drink, but I think we're already in trouble." And he goes, "You make me another drink, or I'm going to come back and do it."
you don't want me to get out of the seat.
You know, come on.
Funny story, I think
that
I told
movie's
you.
Always on. I'll
have to revisit it. Yes. We were doing some Jay Leno garage stuff, and we drove up to, like, Sonoma with one of the race cars and filmed an episode. And then, you know, Jay was like, "Well, I'm flying back," and he's got the private jet over there. And he's like, "I've only got a room for a couple of
people." How does Jay afford a private jet? I mean, come on.
I know. Right?
He hasn't been on TV forever.
Well, he's on.
Tonight Show.
Oh,
you know?
He hasn't been on, like, a real TV. No, he's been on, like, a little TV. So he's like, I can get a couple guys. So we all drive up, and the truck and the trailer and all that stuff. And then one of our guys is going to bring the truck and trailer back. And Adam and I were like, "Let's hitch a ride. Let's hitch a ride with Jay." And my producer, Chris, that we love. Chris is great. Chris is like, "Can I get a seat? Can I get a seat?" I was like, "I asked, they said it's all full." And I was like, and he goes, "Are you sure?" I goes, "Look, I'll ask one more
time."
Chris
said, "I'm no bigger than a suitcase."
I said, "That's right." I was like, "He's a little guy. He doesn't take up much space." I was like, "He'll sit in the little bathroom if you want." Like, it's fine. And I said, "Well, let me check one more time. Maybe somebody, you know, canceled or dropped out or had to stay." And they're like, "Jay approves all that. That's Jay's decision." And we get in there, and he's like, "Sorry, Jay said no." And then, so we get onto the plane, and there's, like, seats. Like, Jay's got, like, a seat, and it's like, Adam will sit there, and there's two producers up front, and I'm sitting kind of in the back, like, right behind Jay and Adam. And in front of Jay, there's seats that face each other. Right?
That's to put your feet on.
And Jay puts his feet up there. There was a basket of snacks. He takes the basket off there, and he puts his feet up there. And then I snap a picture of it. We get back, and I go, There's Chris's seat.
Chris.
It's Jay's snack seat, and it's for his feet. And he goes, "I could have totally sat there." I was like, "No, the boss has got to put his feet up."
That's right. Would have had to take his shoes off and massage his feet as you went.
and feed him nuts.
Yeah, throw nuts and grapes.
Yeah. Iron his denim for him.
Hey, I'm going to totally ruin the rhythm of this episode.
All right, what's up?
When you're under the hood, ever notice how you see Continental belts?
Damn it!
There's a reason for that. Continental is one of the world's largest original equipment suppliers for the automotive industry. Automakers around the world insist on Continental for their original equipment belts. The U.S. Big Three, BMW, VW, over 30% of all new vehicles sold in North America. You know what that says, Matt? It
says the belts are good.
It says they sell a lot of belts. It says Continental knows OE because they are OE. Continental's OE technology series multi-V belts for the automotive aftermarket are precision engineered for perfect fit form and function with true OE pedigree. They're the belts engines already know, so you don't have to introduce them. Oh, no. So you can confidently spec Continental's multi-V belts. There's one for 98% of vehicles on the road today. You might not know it, but Continental is also the leader in automotive technology. Electronic components for things like autonomous driving and accident-free zones. Mm-hmm. That focus on innovation is in every product they make, including OE Technology Series aftermarket belts. That's right. That's Continental belts. And it really didn't ruin the rhythm. If you listened to last week's episode, you got the joke. You got to be on the inside track here and know it on Shift and Steer. And, you know, I wonder if that Hyundai Genesis G70 has Continental belts. What do you think?
I'm sure it does. Might. If not, there's definitely a replacement belt for it. What were you saying about the...
The G70? Yeah, I'm saying after you talked about it, I looked at it, and I was like, wow. I mean, 365 horsepower motor, turbo. Yeah. You know, it's a turbo 3.3 liter, and if you order the automatic, it's 8-speed automatic. Now, with the 4-cylinder, I guess you can get a 6-speed manual, and but 0 to 60 in 4.5.
I know.
And the question is, that's a Hyundai? And I guess I was trying to think of what cars you would compare that to. Maybe like the 340i BMW would be a good comparison.
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't want to call it a Hyundai.
They want to call it a Genesis.
Right. I mean, you don't call an Acura a Honda. You don't call
it
Lexus a Toyota. Do you get the Toyota Lexus?
Yeah. I go in.
You get the Toyota Lexus.
I go into the dealership and I go, where are all the Honda logos in this Lexus dealership?
Well, that'd be Acura, but sure.
That's right. Okay, that's why they looked at me
That's
weird.
Why they're like, you need to leave,
but,
son.
But that Genesis, I mean, maybe like, you know, another good comparison would be that Kia Stinger.
Yes, but that's also the same company. Cause
I know, but it's still very comparative.
What they're trying to do
just different
is
brands.
They're trying to say G70 competes against, you know, Infiniti, you know, little...
Jaguar XKE?
No, maybe XF.
You think?
And Acura.
Acura NSX? No, I don't think that's
no,
a good comparison.
Probably not
to
the NSX.
Nah. But seriously, the interior, the photos that I looked at, and I mean, it looks like a great little car.
The reviews are good. People seem to be enjoying it.
It's like $46,000.
Yeah. Now, they have the G70 that you're talking about. That's the newest one. It's like the size of a 3 Series. They got their G80 and their G90. Yeah. I'm testing the G70 in January. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. And it's not scheduled yet, but I'm supposed to be driving the G90 as well, because I want to see what a $70,000 or $75,000 Genesis looks like. At the auto show that I saw it, it's nice.
That's what you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I went and checked out the new the Cadillac C6 or C6?
Yeah, the C6. Yeah.
C6. And it's nice. They had a V series over there, which is pretty nice.
I like that car.
But then I went over to the Genesis, and that G90 interior is probably a little better.
Okay, little the nicer. Interior is.
Wow.
How's the styling? Because the styling on that Cadillac is really nice.
The styling is sharp on that Cadillac, and certainly having a V version of it makes it super attractive to us because we like the performance. And also, Ray Donovan drives one.
Yeah, so, he's a badass.
Yeah, he's kind of
a badass.
Yeah. Like, if you got one of the C6 V series, you got to keep a wooden bat in the trunk. And
what do you mean? I keep one in the trunk now.
And an extra white shirt perfectly pressed.
Oh, yeah. They got to come from that place where they're folded and pressed.
Yeah.
And
you can just subscribe to that service and they send you a box.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Every week you get a new bat that's non-bloody and a new shirt that's non-bloody. And it's the Ray Donovan kit you can get.
That show rocks. That show's so good.
I love that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I talked to the guys at Cadillac, and they're like, oh no, this was a really big deal for us. Like something like the end of last season.
Get him out of his Mercedes.
Yeah, at the end of last season, they went to New York and they like met with them and talked to like where it was going to be on the set and the whole thing. And they're like, all right, yeah, we want to get in on this. What do you think? They're like, yeah, we're gonna do the big V series kind of thing. Like, yeah, it must be kind of fun.
It's cool. I mean, it was a perfect move. You move to the East Coast, and then he gets a new car.
Like,
and...
I tell you, if I was Cadillac, I'd be calling up Liev Schreiber right now and just starting to put him in commercials and make that car tough. Like, make that car tough and have Liev Schreiber do commercials for
him. Have him show up at people's houses and go, listen, slacking that bat on his
buy this car.
You're buying a car, right? You have him at the dealership. When somebody comes out and goes, well, I don't know, I got to go home and talk it, over with the wife. Then he comes walking out and he goes, hey, wait a minute.
Well, if you think about, Lincoln has Matthew McConaughey doing that, I drive a Lincoln.
Yeah.
And he's, kind of all, going on a date with his dog or something in the
car.
He's
on a date with himself.
And he's just talking about, I've been driving Lincolns long before they paid me to drive Lincolns, Well, why not have, a Ray Donovan version of that?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it'd be awesome. And the other thing that's
the problem with it is there's more drinking and driving in that show than I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
He's never had a sip of water in his life. How do you hydrate on that
he
show?
He is a man's adventure guy.
I'm telling you, he really is.
When does he sleep? He never sleeps either.
No, he does when he passes out.
Yeah, when he passes out. But
either he gets drunk and passes out, or somebody punches him in the face and he gets knocked out.
Or he's banging some woman, I mean, it's like he is. The thing about it is, the only thing that is missing so far is that car's always sitting against the curb or pulling away. There was one thing where he goes, I'll be right there. Why didn't they take that V-Series and, swat the throttle on him and go, wah!
Yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, they're on a limited budget. They only have the one car. only have the one car. To make the stunt version is
why do I not believe that they're on a limited budget?
Yeah,
so,
I don't know.
But it's...
You know how expensive it is to drive it on the streets of New York?
Yeah, that's right.
You went shut down the streets.
Shut down the streets, yeah.
And they're totally... think about that whole show this season. If you watch it, they're saying how corrupt the police department is, the mayor's office is.
The politics of it, and the film industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know how we went down this path, but basically...
Ray Donovan, the new Darkman theory.
Yeah, right? I guess my point is
and
is that Cadillac's badass, and so
but,
is
but
the...
But the Genesis has a little bit nicer interior. I think that's what was
Yeah,
at.
But it doesn't have a bat holder in the back. You're absolutely right. So the... it's a cool car, and you brought it up the last episode, so I went and checked it out and thought, okay, cool. What about that inline six that Jeep's talking about putting in their cars?
I don't know.
In their Cherokees.
Why? What are they running now?
A Hemi.
A Hemi?
A Hemi. A Hemi Ferris spherical motor. But no, they're talking about getting back into inline six, and there's not a lot of details out there as of yet, but I thought that was interesting. I mean, come on, you guys are BMW guys. You got inline sixes in your cars.
Yeah, we do.
I used to have a car, a Valiant with an inline six with I'm trying to remember the brand. It began with a C. It was some guy's name, Clifford. Clifford Research header and all kinds of stuff, They did all kinds of hot rod parts for inline sixes. And anybody out there who's done hot rodding of an inline six knows exactly what I'm
saying. So what you're talking about is Jeep's talking about an inline six possibly for a Jeep Wagoneer.
Yes.
Interesting.
See, I told you you'd find it interesting. Interesting.
All right.
What do we know about it? Do we know anything?
I know little to nothing about it. I just thought it was interesting when I saw the little tidbit that said, we don't know a whole lot about it, but
they're saying
it's
an inline six with a turbo for somewhere around Hemi power. They're kind of going after decent power numbers with it. And it would probably show up in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the next generation Jeep Grand Cherokee, and perhaps a Jeep Wagoneer that'll debut in either 20 or 21. But that's pretty much all we know. They're going to do maybe a straight six with a turbo.
Well, do you have anything else to talk about today, Aaron?
Well, my straight six has a supercharger on it, and my oil light keeps coming on.
that doesn't mean anything.
This is what you would think it means. You would think... Go ahead, Aaron.
You would think.
Hold on, he's on an inline six tear.
When the oil light is orange, it says oil is low.
Okay.
When it turns red, it says you're losing pressure, and it'll shut your engine off. Doesn't care where you are. Doesn't care what you're doing.
Doesn't care if you're on the 405 in traffic.
Literally on the 405 last night at 6:45 p.m., everyone on the planet is on the 405 at 6:45 right around me, and on a date, going to the Christmas party, and somebody's calling. That's the car. And Orange Light's like, oh, maybe just top off the oil when I get to the shop. Light turns red. Motor shuts down. I happen to be in the carpool lane, and I just checked the oil quickly, and I was like, it's fine. And what I figured out is this is a little tip for you too, Aaron, because you got an E46 as well. There are two sensors that go bad on those cars. There's an oil pressure sensor, which is like underneath the manifold behind where...
The one that shuts it down.
Yeah, that's the shutdown sensor. It's behind like the oil canister, you know, that where the filter is, and kind of under the manifold. There's an oil pressure sensor there, and there's an oil level sensor in the oil pans. When we change the oil, you can swap that out. Because I've done the oil in this car, and I put the supercharger on it. I did the oil lines. I tested oil pressure. I wanted to make sure, because whenever the last date I went on, I blew up the supercharger. Yes. And that cost me $5,000, and I got the new supercharger, so I redid the oil lines, and I cranked it over and made sure oil was flowing and doing everything. So I was like, it seems weird unless me revving the crap out of that car, just, you know, driving it hard. I thought maybe I broke an oil pump.
Right.
And I think it's a sensor, and probably, like, I don't know, it's a BMW part. I'd say it's $14, so it's probably $45. But there's probably an oil pressure sensor and an oil level sensor, probably about $40 or $50 a piece.
You know what you do with those? You snip them, and you put one of those stubs on the end where it just reads that it's good all the time, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, or and then again. Sell the car.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Matt, because my oil pressure gauge, you know, has been down. My oil temperature gauge has been down now for, I don't know, 6 months. And it was just kind of flippant. It would go up to temperature, and that would just come back to zero. And
I'm sure it's a sensor. It's got to be another sensor. It's got to be a temperature sensor that's doing it. I'm telling you, when you get into these cars and there's modules and everything, like a friend was driving. She's like, my 3 Series, I just got in it. There's smoke under the dash. I go, smoke's usually not good.
Smoke
under the dash. I was like, why? She's like, kind of under the dash by my feet. I'm like, I don't know, it's probably fine.
Probably fine.
She's like, and then she's like, all right, well, I'm gonna go to an appointment and then get back in the car.
Take your valuables.
I literally said, but you're insured, right? She's like, yeah, I pay up my insurance. I'm like, you're fine. She goes into an appointment, comes back in. She's like, all right, I'm going to drive home. It's like, okay, is it smoking? No. It's like, problem solved.
Quit now.
Yeah, problem solved.
It's not going to start smoking until the car heats up again.
Of course, as she said that, I was like, it's going to be fine. No big deal. I'm on Auto Trader trying to look. I'm like, it's time to trade that thing in. Maybe it's time to trade it in. Smoke under the dash.
Yeah, smoke under the dash is never just,
these BMWs. It was a BMW
like
as well.
My Sirius radio stopped working, but
yeah,
it plugged into the back of the cigarette lighter.
There's all these electronic modules under the dash. Yeah, it could be that, but there's all these different modules and stuff under the dash, and things catch on fire. I guess
it's never good when they catch on fire.
No.
I have to tell you, as a kid, you know, we don't know nothing as kids, right? I got to say, I'm surprised I have never burned a car to the ground because I can't tell you how many radar detectors I wired in with speaker wire to the back of the cigarette lighter.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Just use those clips. Remember those clips where you would squeeze them and they would plug into like whatever wire, and then you could just hot wire off of that.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, you know, you got like 3 of those in line, and you go, is that okay? Is that gonna work? I mean, it's like, I remember with one of my cars,
you know, till it doesn't.
I was driving down the street one day, and the stereo started going, and I had a really nice professionally installed stereo, and And I'm
started turning on randomly. Was it a Tesla?
No, I'm driving down the street, and it's one of my muscle cars. And all of a sudden, the stereo, you know, it's rocking along. I think it was, gosh, I mean, it had to be something really contemporary, you know, on there. It was, you know, the 8-track was going, but no. And all of a sudden, the music started going blah, 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 you know, and it just went off. And I went, oh, what's wrong with this? And so I'm trying to turn it on. All of a sudden, I smell smoke, and I go, what's? And all of a sudden, I see a little wisp of smoke. I go, oh, shit. Pull over to the side of the road.
Yeah.
Open the trunk really quick, and the big power amp in the back,
It's
melting down. It's literally, I put my hand on it. I couldn't even touch it. It was so hot. And smoke's coming out of it. And I'm going, what do I do, man? You know, so I run out and I, like, unhook the battery. You know, I'm thinking, don't get any power to it.
You didn't think the pee on it?
But it was already hot. Well, I took my beer that I was holding.
Yeah, the beer.
Well, yeah, while I was driving.
I mean, it's a driving beer.
Yeah.
Pee on it, Brad, pee on it.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like going, you know, trying to call it. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to lose the whole car because this stupid power amp overheated,
well,
you know?
God. If it was your third beer, win-win, because you have extra beers and you have to pee
and,
by now.
Yes. But anyway, long story. When I finally tore the thing apart, holy crap, it was like so close to like bursting into flames because the whole circuit board was like melted and everything. And
I did miswire a starter solenoid in the 65 Mustang, and halfway down the street it started catching fire under the hood, and opened the hood, put it out with some rags and stuff, and then for like a year I drove around with this weird burn mark under the hood, like right above the solenoid, like and you could definitely see what happened. Like it was just I was like, I guess that wire goes on the other side, my bad. You know, should have read that wiring diagram.
Hey, you know, we all do foolish things when we're learning. That's what it's called, is learning.
Learning.
Right,
it's practice.
Right, right.
It's like a doctor. They're practicing.
There's a learning curve to life. Yeah, there's a learning curve to life.
All right.
We're wrapping it up. What do you got?
I'm going on vacation.
You going on vacation? You're already on vacation. You're going on a vacation from your vacation, huh?
I'm going to go to Arizona for a couple of days. I'm going to come back here, and apparently I'm going to change the oil pressure sending unit or the sensor on the M3.
When you take these girls on dates in your M3, do they ever go, Matt, I was looking at your social media, and when you asked me out, you were driving a Huracan?
Yeah.
And before that, you had an Aston Martin, and now we're in the carpool lane broken down with a BMW? What's the deal?
Oh, no, we had the conversation last night where I'm under the hood of the BMW. I don't stress about it. I was like, it's fine. Just give me 1 second. I knew I had oil in the trunk. I was like, I knew it was something not that complicated because I was pretty confident it had oil in it. So
I like that. Pretty confident I had oil in it.
But, you know, the clutch is so heavy and it's hard to get that thing to go straight. She's like, she's sweet about it. She's like, are all the... The you said M3? It's like, are they all this loud? And I'm like, no, this one, I mean, I kind of, like, you know, like I made this one louder. She's like, okay, is it because of the turbo charger you put on there? And I was like, it's a supercharger. She's like, does that make it loud?
Yeah.
Does it need that? And I was like, I see where you're going on this. And yes, it needs it.
and that's why I gave you the earmuffs when you got in the car.
And then we're in traffic, and the clutch is heavy, and the car's kind of jerking forward. And, you know, you can't get that thing to just go right with that clutch. And then she's like, I'm just going to lean my seat back and just kind of, like, lean back in the seat where your head is against the headrest. And I go, yeah, that'll probably be more comfortable for you.
Yeah, because my neck's starting to hurt.
Yeah, because she's like, how long to drive? In traffic, an hour. She's like, okay, I'm just going to lean back on the headrest so she doesn't walk in with one of those donuts around her neck.
Exactly.
from the ER.
Well, it worked out if she, when you're, it was time to go home, she didn't say, I'm just going to take an Uber.
Right. We're driving and we're talking about her car, you know, smoking under the dash and talking about like what to get next. And we see like an F-150 pull next to us. And she's like, I don't get the big full-size truck like in L.A. I see them on the road. There's nothing in the back. And I was like, you know, the very first date we went on, I brought a Raptor over. She's like, yeah, that was fun. You know, when we jumped the median and crossed Santa Monica Boulevard, she goes, but you don't drive that all the time, right? I was like, no, no. She's like, I don't get the pickup truck with nothing in the back. I was like, no, you're right. Neither do I.
Nobody does.
And I had to explain to her why the G-Wagon was so dumb.
It is dumb.
It's dumb. She's like, I want something cool.
I don't like them either.
She's like, I want something cool, you know, that's maybe more fuel efficient. She's like, and also I like that big square Volkswagen or a Volkswagen Mercedes. I go, it gets 8 miles to the gallon. You know that, right? Like 11 on the freeway. She's like, oh, that's bad.
And like, now you see him around town with these giant wheels and tires.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, does anybody in that car know anything about a center of gravity? Because they're narrow, they're awkward, and they're raised way up in the air now, you know? And first time they got to do a panic stop on the freeway, it's going to go thump, 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 thump. You know, it's like.
I'm going to send you guys a picture of one I saw a couple months ago. I meant to send it to you down in like Cameron Park or something. And same thing. It's got, I don't even know, it's got huge wheels on it. I mean, it kind of looked nice because it was proportionally, it had a rack on it and all this other stuff. So it was proportionally nice. It was balanced. But yeah, you look at the drivability of it and it was like, no. And the same thing, it had like those 1-inch sidewalls and it was just this monster.
We got a great picture like walking into like the Gooding auction in Monterey from a couple years ago. I got a picture of Adam Carolla standing next to the giant green one or the yellow
that green
one,
yeah,
you know, that he hates so much.
Oh, yes.
And he's just standing next to it. I got a picture of him standing next to it. It was parked at the auction.
I remember seeing that one there. Yeah.
The tires as big as he is and whatnot. But
hey, we got to wrap it up. We're coming to the end, guys.
Yeah.
We got to go. What? We got to go eat some more food and drink some more holiday drink and get this holiday going because you know what's next is a new year. So let's go into the new year. Hey, next week, just to remind you, we're going to have a really cool special treat for you guys. We're not going to be working, but...
That's a treat.
Yeah. You're not going to have to listen to us. No, we dug out of the Bond Speed Media archives a really cool show from back when Larry Dixon was doing his Dixon's Wild Ride show. And we had an interview with one of the guys from Street Outlaws, and it never got aired. So you're going to hear it for the first time along with Larry. So
sounds great.
Yeah, so we'll have it for you. It'll be a lot of fun, and you'll kind of hear some history. But for now, Shift and Steer is out of here. And I'm Brad Fanshaw. Find me at Bradley_Fanshaw.
Wait, you're Brad Fanshaw?
I'm Brad Fanshaw. Oh, you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram. And then you can find me Brad Fanshaw everywhere else. Matt, where can they find you?
Moderator.
Where can they find us online?
At shiftandsteer.com. You asked me like it was a trick question.
It was.
Where can we find it online?
Where?
And Aaron, what about you, buddy? Where can they find you?
Oh, I'm Aaron Hagar everywhere, and Hagar Googles pretty well, and that, and the Rat Runner's Garage. That's my little dive up here that I like to go pound metal in.
Oh, cool. Aaron just emailed me a picture of the Grasshopper RC car
in the box. Oh, the Grasshopper in the box. That's cool. Looks like an old Chenworth race car, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, those things are badass. And hey, everybody, don't forget, we've got a great website, shiftandsteer.com. Go there. We just posted a huge photo gallery from SEMA. There's great video from SEMA. And we're always putting cool stuff up there. You can listen to any of our back episodes there. So go there, check it out, see what we're doing, and tell your friends because we need more followers. Go to that place called, what's Apple have? iTunes?
iTunes.
And go there, tell your friends to go there, subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, and tell us great things that we already know about the show. We appreciate that. So, hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
We'll see you later.
Happy holidays, folks.
Let's go drink some eggnog.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.